Why Recovery from Food Addiction is Hard, an article on foodrelapse.com. One of the things that it is important to realize about recovery from food addiction, and this is especially true if you've come from another 12-step program, is this important fact. This is hard. Recovery from food addiction, not all the time, but in the beginning particularly, can be very, very difficult. Addictive diseases have many weapons in their arsenals, but food has more of them. Firstly, no matter how bad an alcoholic, addict, or whatever was, they probably didn't pick up that substance or habit until their teens at the earliest. Food, however, goes all the way back to the beginning. It represents mother, nurture, peace, contentment, love, approval, and reward, to name a few. Almost everyone has happy memories of meals and food at some point. Most of us remember hearing, if you're good, you'll get A, and then fill in the goodie. Here's another simple fact. We all have to eat. In a way, I find the phrase food addict humorous. Think about it. Have you ever met anyone that has kicked the food habit? I know people say alcoholics have to drink, they just don't drink alcohol. But speaking for this alcoholic, I've never had a drink of any liquid that made me think about drinking alcohol. On the other hand, when I've been upset and not in a fit spiritual condition, I've had abstinent meals that made me want to keep eating. If you're in a food program like OA, which doesn't have a specific food plan dictated, you have another problem, the ambiguous nature of some abstinences. It's not like AA people don't have slips. I can tell you that if a person in AA has a slip, he at least knows he's having one. I've known people in OA who have problems with food for months before realizing it. Another factor weighing against your recovery is the proliferation of easier, softer ways. Most of society has come to believe that a 12-step method is the most effective method for recovery from alcoholism and drug addiction. That means that groups like AA and NA have very little competition. There aren't a lot of alternative groups out there trying to convince alcoholics that they can drink safely again. If there were, my guess is that every alcoholic would have at least given that a shot before making it to AA. Now imagine there are hundreds, even thousands of such alternatives. That's part of the problem a compulsive eater faces. The plethora of easier, softer ways that continually bombards the active compulsive eater is staggering. There is a billion-dollar industry out there trying to convince eaters that they can have their cake and eat it too. My disease also likes to use the wonderful weapon of minimization. After all, it's just food, it will try and tell me. Eating and even overeating is socially acceptable. Ever watch some of the food porn that passes as TV commercials? They're almost begging you to overeat. You don't see this with booze. Please drink responsibly is what you hear. Where is the please eat responsibly with food? The irony of the verbiage we use in these programs is not lost on me. In AA, people talk about sobriety, while in food programs, we speak of abstinence. Alcoholics are not sober with their drinking. They abstain. It's the food people who need to develop a sober relationship with the food, because to abstain means to stay away from it entirely. The most important reason I believe that recovery from food is harder has to do with the pain involved, or more accurately, the manner in which the food delivers its pain. If there's anything good to be said about drugs and alcohol, it's that these substances usually manage to slam their victims face down into the pavement, figuratively but sometimes literally, with the pain they cause. If the addict survives, there is a point, some point, at which he or she usually has some moment of lucidity where the situation becomes obvious. Whether it involves waking up in jail, or in hospital, or next to somebody they don't know or don't want to know, they find themselves with a brief period of honesty where they ask themselves, what the heck am I doing with my life? Well, food isn't that nice. The pain that food causes isn't the acute type that drugs and alcohol provides. It's the dull, chronic type that will allow a person, especially if they're smart, to keep moving the goalposts of acceptability. With each day and each increasing number on the scale, that which is was previously unacceptable becomes acceptable. I'll never get to 200 pounds, the person says on Monday. On Tuesday, after looking at 205 on the scale, the same person says, okay, but no more than 210. That's the main problem with food as an addiction. Food addiction makes you uncomfortable enough to know you should do something about your problem, but not uncomfortable enough to actually be willing to go to any lengths to do something about it. Scientists found a long time ago that if you take a live frog and bring it toward boiling water, it will thrash to try and move away from it. It's not dumb. It realizes boiling water is not its friend. However, scientists realized you could take that same frog and put it in a pot of room temperature water, then slowly bring up the temperature, and that frog will never jump out of that pot. He will die in a pot of boiling water, the same pot he would never have jumped into. This is the perfect analogy for the food. A slow, gradual slide that, if you're smart enough, you can adjust to faster than it brings you down. You set a goal on a scale. If I ever get to 200 pounds, I'll get serious about losing the weight. But after you hit that number, a while later, you just adjust it upwards. Or you start wearing elastic waist clothes and start looking at yourself in the mirror from the neck up, and onward and onward, or rather downward and downward. What is the answer? It's still surrender, whether you're in AA or a food program. And since chances are, unless you're 500 pounds or more, you'll never be in that acute pain that many people need to get better. You might just have to act as if. Act as if you're 500 pounds and getting abstinence is the matter of life and death. Abstinence is a matter of life and death, both physically and spiritually. I have seen dozens of people die in my 33 years in program, including two sponsees. I've seen large people die of strokes and anorexic girls in their teens die of heart attacks. One of my sponsees was 600 pounds and died in a fire because he was too big to get out. Then there's the spiritual death, and I mean the death of your spirit, not the textbook definition of spiritual. As a good friend who leads retreats says, I'm not afraid of dying from this disease, but I'm afraid of becoming one of the walking dead. By that he means becoming the kind of person whose life involves getting up, going to work, coming home, sitting in front of the TV and eating all night, or surfing the net. Then going to bed, sleeping, getting up in the morning, and starting that cycle all over again. Those people, on their deathbed, will be asking themselves what they had done with the last years of their lives. For me, there has to be more to life than that. No food is worth that kind of life.